All right, let's look in Judges tonight, chapter 2, book of Judges. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges.
I'm going to just trust you. It's easier.
All right, Judges chapter 2, verse 10, here it is. It says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, neither yet the works which he had done for Israel." That's a sad statement there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs. Thank you for the time we can be together. Please bless your word. Thank you for it. Pray you'd help us to listen and understand. Lord, it's you that gives the understanding. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight that everybody could understand these things we're going to talk about and say and not be confused about them. And Lord, that's entirely in your hands. Please help me to say the right things as clear as I can. But Lord, I can't make people understand this. I pray you would in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever wonder how people can live in this world without any regard for God? You ever wonder that? The longer I live for God, live my life. We missed service last Wednesday. I just feel awful when we miss service.
Yes, sir.
It just feels wrong. You just feel like you've done something wrong or something. And, you know, I don't understand people who don't feel like that. You know, a lot of the churches are not having church at all since all this stuff's going around and everything. They just not have church. And a lot of them seem to like it that way. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be that way. I just couldn't go that route. I had somebody today on the phone tell me. She said her husband didn't. He was born again, but he didn't believe he had to go to church and all that. Well, I got news for those people. They're not born again. That's the message here tonight. Do you ever wonder how people can live in this world without any regard for God? Well, here's your answer right here. They do not know God. Simple. Straight out. I'm sure of that. And the longer that I live, the more troubled I am about so many people that don't really know the Lord. I've been in church a long time. Been around a lot of people through all the years. Had a lot of good times and had a lot of things that wasn't so good in church. But the longer I go, the narrower it gets.
Yes,
the narrower the way looks to me. Maybe you can understand me a little more as I go on here, but I hope you'll listen. They have no knowledge of God at all, or what they... Well, I skipped one point I wanted to make. That's the explanation for a lot of the things that people do and do not do who profess to know God. They don't know God. Those whose lives don't line up with the scriptures, but they claim to know God, the answer is they don't know God.
That's right. Yes.
If you know God, there's going to eventually. Now, I know there's different paces. You know, some people are slow. I've been a slow learner. And other people are quick learners. You know, they can get a hold of it quicker. But he that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And that's a fact. And it always is that way. Eventually, he's going to overcome the world. And he's going to line up with the scripture more and more the longer he lives. Now, when you see somebody who never does, I don't care if they are sitting in church all their life, but their life will not line up with the scriptures, I'm telling you, the answer is that they don't know God. And we're not doing them any good or any service by trying to reassure them or trying to reassure ourselves that they're okay. They're on their way to heaven. I mean, they got saved. They got baptized. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to just seal their soul off to hell with our selfish, self-pity, you know, false compassion. I've always been that way. You know, people get offended if you judge them. You ain't got no right to judge somebody else's salvation. Well, I beg to differ with you.
Yeah, that's true.
You're doing them a terrible disservice. If they're really saved and you're doubting them, you're not going to hurt them if they're really saved.
No.
It's not going to hinder them. It's not going to make them stumble or make them quit if they're really saved.
That's right.
It won't. But if they're really lost and saying they're saved and you confirm it for them, their blood's going to be on your hands.
That's right.
I mean, you are guilty of their soul's loss by helping them into hell. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel a bit bad about saying these things. I feel like it's the right thing to say. Now, they have no knowledge of God at all, or what they have is not firsthand. These people who don't live right. These people who live any old way. They don't do the things God commands, and they do the things God forbids. What's wrong with them? They don't know the Lord. They may know the Lord exists. They may claim to know about the Lord, but their knowledge is not firsthand. And it has very little effect on a person, especially when that knowledge is about another person. See? Let me see if I can explain it a little better here. They know no more about God than we know about somebody we meet in another car on the highway. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you all say, well, I know some people I meet. Well, sometimes we do. We meet people we know. But most of the time, it's not that way. You get out here on the highway or the interstate, and you don't know who you are. They're just people in cars, and you don't know them. You know there's people there, a person there. There's people in those cars, but you don't know them. You don't have a personal knowledge or relationship with them. Well, it's that way with God. A lot of people, in fact, most people would never deny His existence. Even in this atheistic, humanistic, ungodly generation, most people, now that I know, that I'm around, that I listen to, or see, or acquainted with, or hear of, most of them would never deny that there's a God. They just about all acknowledge God in some way or another. So, they count that as faith. Well, let me tell you something, that's not faith. Just believing that God exists, and yet you don't know Him, that's not saving faith. It's not faith at all.
Right.
So they're just not concerned about what He thinks, since they don't know Him personally. They may know He's there, or say they know He's there, but they're not acquainted with Him personally, so they don't think about what offends Him, what His desire is about them, or anything like that. Y'all following me? You don't care what so-and-so on the other side of town thinks about you, says about you, what they want you to do. If you don't know them, you don't care. You don't stay awake at night worrying about what that stranger over there wants from me, what he wants me to do, what that stranger needs. You're not concerned about people you don't know. Really. It's no burden upon you. It doesn't affect your life. Therefore, they're just not concerned about what God thinks because they don't know Him. And neither are they worried about the fact that they'll face Him one day and that He'll be their judge. They're just willfully ignorant of that fact. A lot of people don't consider the consequences of anything. And so they're certainly not worried about God because they don't know Him. Who knows what He might do? I can know someone that you don't know. And I'll have concerns about them while you don't. Because you don't know them. You know? You give a prayer request and it's about somebody you work with or know or something that I don't know. Well, I'll pray for them with you and all of that. But it can't be as much of a burden on me as it is on you. If you know them and care about them and I don't know them, then I'm not going to be as concerned about them as you are. That's just fact, ain't it? I tell you about people that I know, that I love dearly, and they're in trouble, and they need prayer, and You'll pray for them with me some, but you ain't going to think about it much because you don't know them. That's the way it is. It's the way it is with God. Some people know God. Some people walk with God. Some people talk with God. Some people commune with God and love God because they know Him and others don't. The person who loves God, walks with God, knows God, is going to be concerned about what God wants. He that loveth me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He that loveth me, if you keep his commandments, you love him. That's as simple as that. You're going to be concerned about what he wants. The fact that you know him is going to affect your life and it's going to direct your life. And that's why you see all these people out here and in churches and everything, and they don't care. And they don't have any standards or concerns or convictions about right and wrong. They just don't know God. They may know you. And you may know God. And they may be ashamed in front of you about some of the things they do, but they're not really ashamed in front of God because they don't even know Him. You can know someone that I don't know and therefore they'll affect your life, but not mine. Sinners do things that offend God because they don't know God. And they also offend God by refusing to do things they should because they don't know the Lord. How can somebody say that I don't believe you got to go to church? I ain't never going to go to church. People tell me that all the time. I hear that real often. I just don't believe you got to go to church. They just badmouth the church and badmouth God's people. And the Bible plainly says that if you hate your brother, you're still in darkness.
That's right.
You're lost.
Yep.
It's one of the evidences of being saved is that you join yourself to God's people. Mm-hmm. And local churches are always going to be a mixed multitude. There's lost people in there and there's saved people in there. Can't help it. It's going to always be that way. It always has been that way. I was thinking the other day, the church at Corinth. You know, all these people talk about all the hypocrites in the church and all the stuff. Have you read the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, lately?
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what all was going on in that church? And it was still a church. It was still a church that God cared for, that God made sure He sent two letters to instruct them and to help them. And in Revelation, you see the same thing, the seven churches and letters to all the churches and words for them about what was going on in the churches and all that. That's way back there in the beginning of this thing. And here we are now. And people use that for an excuse not to come. Well, they just don't know God. I really believe that. If you won't go to church, I just don't believe you know God. You say, well, you ain't going to run. You don't have to agree with me, but you'll find out when you face God, who you don't know. Now, here, John 16, verse 3. Let me read that to you. It says, and these things will they do unto you. Jesus said this, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, I just said sinners will do things that offend God because they don't know God. And they'll offend God by refusing to do things that they should because they don't. And Jesus said, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. There you go. He also said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. Now, Jesus said that, see? Psalm chapter 92, verses 5 and 6. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. So that explains to us why people act the way they act and do the things they do without regard for God or their future. So it's very easy for children to grow up in a home where parents know the Lord and they don't. I can read you some scriptures here. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli, he was the priest. Sons of Eli were sons of Belial. You know what that means? Sons of the devil. The sons of Eli were children of the devil. They were lewd, base fellows. You know, lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's the way the Bible says it in the New Testament. But yeah, they were. They were the most wicked. They did, and it says they did not know the Lord. They knew not the Lord. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, the verse we read when we started there. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now it's the first generation it's talking about there is the generation that took the land. Joshua's generation. They grew up in the wilderness, away from everything, no home, no country, being punished with their fathers for their unbelief. They took the land. They saw the victory. They obeyed God and believed God. But they all passed away. And there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. And they had never seen anything the Lord did. They knew about him. Now, don't you ever forget that they knew about him. The memorials were there that God told them, pile up the rocks here by the Jordan River. Do this and do that and for a memorial. I mean, the tabernacle was still there. The priesthood, everything was all in it, in place. But they didn't know the Lord. Their fathers did. They didn't. So the children have to get to know him themselves. It's not a guarantee. It's not something that you pass to your children automatically, the knowledge of the Lord. I mean, you can teach them about God, but they have to know God themselves. Man, there's a disconnect there with everybody. I don't know how to bridge it, but you got to think. You can know about God or you can know God. Two different things. I know all about President Trump. I hear it all the time. But I don't know him, and neither do you. You see his face a lot, just like we've seen Obama's face. We see all these faces of people all the time, but we don't know them. Your children can grow up in your home and hear about God all the time. They can come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday all their life and hear about God and Jesus and all that stuff, you know. Like Ashley said that time, told her mom, and she said, what'd you learn in Sunday school? And she said, oh, it was all about Jesus and God and that kind of stuff. That's what most children do. They go to church, they hear about all that stuff, and they never know the Lord. Yeah. Danger, danger. It's very easy for somebody to sit in church where some of the people know God, and they never get acquainted with him. And that's something that's really profound to me. And more as I get older, as I think of people that I've known through the years, and I've been in church with them a lot, and I've listened to them, and I've watched how they live, and I know them, and it's so troubling to me that I really believe they don't know the Lord. They know all about him. They know how to say the words. They know how to act in church. They know how to talk the language so that everybody believes they're. And they're like Judas. Right in the middle of the disciples. Have you ever thought about that? Nobody suspected him. None of the other disciples even suspected him at all. Because he went, when Jesus sent him to cast out devils, he did it too. Mm-hmm. Everything Jesus taught him, everything Jesus sent him to do, he was in on it too. And he did it as well as any of the rest of them. And they all just, they were shocked to find out about him. A lot of the tears in heaven before Jesus wipes them away, I believe are going to be about that because we're so careless with one another's souls. We assume too much. We just assume. With our children, we just assume that they'll be okay. They've heard, they're in a good church, they've heard the good preaching, they know the songs, you know, they'll be okay. We just assume that they know the Lord and they don't know the Lord. You gotta look for something that's evidence of a relationship with God. Just going to church, just cutting their hair right, just wearing the right kind of clothes, just saying the right kind of things, listening to the right kind of music, they can do all of that. They can appear to be the perfect Christian young person and not know God. And it happens way more than we think it does.
Yeah, it's true.
But these kind of situations are very dangerous, because having a knowledge of God and then not serving Him, in the, that's the road to being a reprobate. People have a controversy with these, what I'm going to say here, but I done said it. It's the road to being a reprobate. Hearing about God all the time. You remember a couple of weeks ago when I told you, where did these antichrists come from that John talked about? Where did they come from? They went out from us. They went out from us. These antichrists. That back then, he said that. The people that were so against God came right out of the church. They went out from us because they were not of us. Therefore, they went out from us. That it might be made manifest that they were not of us. They didn't know God. They're sitting right in the church, hearing about Him, hearing the preaching, being in a participant in everything, and didn't know God. So they turn on Him, turn on God's people. Romans 1, 21. Listen close to what it says. Because that when they knew God, did you get that? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I believe that means they knew about God. These are the people that go, this is the roadmap to total depravity. You know, this ends up in sodomy and destruction and reprobate mind here. And that's where it started. They knew about God. But they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What does that mean, became vain in their imaginations? Their mind was just occupied with vanity, just listening to the world, being occupied with the world all the time, foolish things that meant nothing, exercising all your mind's energy and thoughts on things that don't have any value at all. Titus chapter 1 verse 16, that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So they profess that they know God. They say they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now they were, their foolish heart was darkened in Romans chapter 1 verse 21. Titus 1:16, they're reprobate. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can have knowledge of Him and not know Him. Oh, I wish I could stress that so that you would, that would register in your mind as real. Have a knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and not know Him. So easy to. All right. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So a reprobate is not one who does not know, but one who knows and refuses. It's somebody who's brought within sight of God and is exposed to the knowledge of God, but he rejects a relationship with Him in favor of his own interests. How many times do you think a person can say no to God when they're brought that close? How many times do you think he can say no? Hundreds of times? Thousands of times? I don't think so. I don't believe that you've got that many chances. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I mean, that's pretty urgent. That narrows it down pretty. I mean, He's being very, what you say? What's the word I'm searching for here? But He's stressing it very heavily. Because the Bible repeats those words over and over. Today, if you hear His voice, better not harden your heart. I mean, you got a chance when you're brought close to God through the knowledge of God. People around you who know God, who walk with God, who talk with God, who live a godly life. And if you reject it, I don't believe you've got too many chances before your mind and your heart are darkened, just like these we just read here in these three verses. The message of the gospel is to introduce people to God and to bring them under the influence of the knowledge of God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it says. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Sounds like he's talking about our country, doesn't it? You sitting here tonight, you know a lot about God, whether you're saved or not. You know a lot about God, as you sit and listen and listen and listen. People outside the doors here, living all up and down these streets and everywhere, how much do you think they really know about God? Huh? They think he's the old man upstairs. They think he's nothing but love. Some of them thinks he's a woman. Yeah. They have no idea. When they think of God, they think of that long-haired Jesus they seen somewhere, a picture, you know, on a church wall or something, or a Catholic thing, or a crucifix that the Catholics wear around their necks and stuff. That's what they think of.
Yeah.
They're just idolaters, really. They're no more than these pagans in a jungle that worship a rock. They don't know about God. He said that the Lord has a controversy with the land, with the people. Has a controversy with inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. So mercy and truth are an evidence of a knowledge of God. Mercy and truth are met together. The psalmist prophesied of Christ. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. Mercy and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. So mercy and truth are evidence of the knowledge of God. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Mercy and truth. Get it? What it means? Mercy and truth. There's people who are Baptists. Lots of them. And they don't have any mercy. It's just truth, buddy. Truth. Black and white. If you know you're wicked or you're righteous. And that's true. I mean, you're either in one of those other camps. One or the other. But what about mercy? Mercy and truth are met together. Where? In Christ. If we know God, the only way we can know Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's full of mercy and truth. Mercy and truth is evidence of a real knowledge of God. He said there's no mercy, no truth, and no knowledge of God in the land. That's the Old Testament. Still works the same way. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, he said this, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." So, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Consistent, unwavering, unchanging steadiness in God's service is evidence of a real knowledge of God. It's evidence that you know Him if you're steady, consistent, unchangeable, unwavering. He's able to make you stand. Yes, sir. He establishes you. Old Testament, New Testament, both. That's what it says God does for His people. If you know him, you get some stability in your life. You quit wobbling and wavering and changing and confused and undecided and making crazy decisions and choices. You stop that. When you know the Lord. Changing, compromising, instability, and wavering are evidence of the absence of the knowledge of God. I see that in those scriptures. Do you? John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. When we know that we know him, we know that we have eternal life. Now you can be religious, and you can go to church, and you can memorize scripture, and you can know the Romans Road, and you can tell it to other people, and you can take communion, and you can do everything, and still not know him. Not know that you know him in your heart. When you know that you know him, and that you have a relationship with God yourself, then you know you have eternal life. You don't have to have people tell you. You don't need some preacher to reassure you, take you to the Bible and show you all those verses and take you back to that day when you bowed at that altar. And you don't need none of that. If you know that you know God, then you know heaven is your home. You're not shaky about it. You're not scared about it. You're not confused, undecided, wondering about it. It's peace. So this is life eternal. That we may know him. that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now when we know that we have that we know him, we know we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, just about done. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Y'all know this verse, don't you? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's what it says right there. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So these things are written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And if you know that you know God, you know you have eternal life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So I'm saying to you, the message of the gospel is to introduce people to God and to bring them under the influence of the knowledge of God so that they might know him. The message of the gospel is also to warn those who know not the Lord. Because those are the ones who are going to be punished forever. Oh my. There's other verses I can read here besides this one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Very plain. Who's he coming to punish? Those who do not know the Lord.
Right.
Whether they're sitting in a church pew, whether they're a preacher behind a pulpit, whether they're a sodomite down on the street. That's who he's coming to punish. Those who don't know him. You know, again, in Matthew it says that Jesus, in Matthew 7, is it, I believe, where they, Jesus, they come before the Lord and they said, Lord, Lord, have we done many marvelous works in thy name? We've cast out devils. We've done all this. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. So it's pretty important what I'm preaching to you here tonight. You got to know the Lord. There's so many verses. The Old Testament's full of them. So is the New Testament. Know the Lord. Know him. Don't just be religious. Don't just be a churchgoer. Don't just wear the title. the uniform. Know the Lord. Talk to Him.
Yes, sir.
Know Him. Don't just sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," when He ain't really your friend. You just know about Him. You know all the stories about Him. You know how He fed the multitudes, how He healed the blind man, the lepers. You know all those, but do you know Him? Do you know His voice? He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." The voice of a stranger, they won't hear. They know My voice. You've all seen these things, read in these books and all of this, but the shepherd can go out and have two or three flocks of sheep, two or three different shepherds, and the shepherd can call, and his sheep will just come right out from among all the sheep.
Yep.
They know the voice of the shepherd.
Yep.
That's just how it is. Yes. Do you know? Do you recognize Him when He speaks to you? It's not imaginary. It's not a dream. It's not something you just work up. Know the Lord. How you get to know Him? By the knowledge of God, through the Word of God. And then you walk with Him. How you get to know anybody else? Huh? How you ever get to know anybody? Well, you spend some time around them. You spend some time with them. You talk. You don't just talk to them. You let them talk to you too. That's the way you get to know them. You can be around somebody and you do all the talking. You ain't never going to know them.
Yep.
You got to listen to them. Praying is listening too. Praying ain't a one-way phone.
That's right.
You pray and... What does that watch and pray? What does that mean? Sometimes you just sit there and wait for God to speak to you. Oh, well, I hope you can understand this, and I hope you'll remember this, because this is mighty important. This is a mighty important thing. It's a real thing that bothers me, because I see so many people that they missed it somewhere along the line. And I see people that everybody thinks is the best Christian who ever lived, and I don't think they even know God. You say, "Well, you just think you're something." No, I don't. I just know the truth. And I read the Bible and I know what God is to me. And I look and see and listen to the things coming out of Him and watch their life, and it's just not there. It cannot be this way. Either I'm badly deceived or they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you ever check yourself? Yes, sir.
Often.
Always. Because I don't want to be deceived either.
No, sir.
Amen. Well, Father, thank You for the Word of God. Pray You bless it to our hearts and minds. Pray it be understood by whoever listens to this, and that it'd be a help. Maybe a wake-up call. Maybe some assurance for somebody. Help them, Lord, I pray. And bless it now as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen.